June 16th, oh my goodness, I'm 40. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm throwing out the first pitch tomorrow because it's my birthday. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. I turn 40 tomorrow. Throwing out the first pitch at the Mariners game, T-Mobile Park. Come out and see me if you're there. Or just watch on TV. June 26th, I'm going to be playing in the Champions of Change celebrity basketball game. Me, Jamal Crawford, Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Michael Bennett, Doug Baldwin, Isaiah Thomas, Rashard Lewis, Sue Bird. It's going to be bonkers. All the proceeds go to benefit Champions of Change, a charity started by Cliff Averill, Doug Baldwin, and Michael Bennett. Happy to be a part of this. Joel McHale is a part of it. June 26th, 3 p.m., tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Type in Champions of Change. July 7th through the 10th, I'll be in Las Vegas at the Tropicana. Come see me, Las Vegas. July 7th through the 10th, Tropicana Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh, boy. July 20th, I'm at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall in Portland, Oregon with Sal Vulcano. I'm doing a run of shows with my buddy Sal Vulcano. July 20th in Portland, Oregon at Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. July 21st in Seattle at the Paramount Theater. And then July 22nd in Vancouver at the Vogue Theater. Come out and see us the 20th through the 22nd. Three shows with Sal, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver. July 29th, 30th and 31st, La Jolla Comedy Store, San Diego, California. Coming back July 29th through the 31st. San Diego, California, La Jolla Comedy Store. And then August 5th and 6th in Boston, Massachusetts at Laugh Boston. August 5th and 6th, Laugh Boston. Come out and see me. Pack your car. Name it. Come see me. All these tickets at AdamRayComedy.com.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
I've been carrying this around like a freshman with a football.
What is it?
It's my board game.
Oh. You have a board game?
Yeah.
I mean.
I know.
Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. What a teaser. George is your real name.
Yeah.
Do you go by that at all?
Sure.
Great.
But you'll call me Tank.
I feel more comfortable calling you Tank. Is that okay?
Of course, yeah.
Tank Sinatra, you're one of the... you know, it's safe to say, biggest people on social media.
I'm 250 pounds, bro. I'm fucking huge.
Love that, dude. Look at that. Taking it, taking the compliment, misdirecting it, firing it back as a joke.
That's what we do.
You love comedy.
Oh, I love it. I do.
You say you're like a student of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a student. Yeah. I'm an analyst, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I like what makes a joke work. Brian Regan wrote the greatest joke of all time.
Please.
In my opinion. Do you know Brian Regan
well.
And his like comedy?
Oh yeah.
The Moosin joke is the single greatest joke ever written.
I will not disagree with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many twists and turns, and then he gives you what you want. He says Meese later on.
Yeah.
You know, in the rant. He's I mean, it's unreal.
I think the first joke I heard of his that made me go, oh, this guy's special, was the telling when they go have a good flight and he goes, you too.
That's on the same album.
Yeah.
And that joke is so stepped on now. I mean, it's 2022, but
yeah,
that album came out in like the 90s, you know? You too, in case you ever fly someday.
Wait, so what did you see in comedy that got you, that tickled your...
My butthole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say tickled your fancy, but I feel like if you get your butthole tickled by something comedically,
yeah,
that's usually a pretty good sign that you're going to be... a big fan of whatever that was. So what was it? Like a movie or a show or a voice or a joke?
So it was actually, if I had to pinpoint a specific moment,
yeah,
I was maybe 12 or 13 years old and I was up late one night, no supervision, making three bagels for dinner. Like
we were talking about this pre-show, making food for yourself as a fat kid. We were both fat kids.
You were fat too?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh.
I mean, we're talking, I lost it when it was like the last plate of leftover spaghetti and meatballs my mom had made. And, you know, she just got home from one of four jobs. My sister's being a fucking bitch and she's screaming about shit. And I'm screaming at her for being adopted. And she's fucking in her room. And there's a lot of haymakers being thrown. She's like, you got fucking bigger tits than our mom. And I'm like, you mean my mom? You know,
oh,
it was
boy.
A whole thing. Yeah, it was. Yeah. We were just going at each other's throats. And now we're great. Now we're great pals. But I was walking down the stairs to watch, I think, the Disney Afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a full plate of spaghetti meatballs. And I'm so fired up. And I fucking trip. And this thing goes Chevy Chase style, like flips in the air, down the stairs, lands on me. I like twist my ankle.
Yeah.
Not only am I missing the start of Tailspin, there's no meatballs. There's no spaghetti. It's like we're eating toast for dinner.
That's like a Cokehead dropping a plate of Coke.
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly like
rage.
It. I probably was more upset, some would say.
Well, because you were young, you hadn't, you know, figured out how to hit. You weren't.
I hadn't done
fueled,
coke yet.
You weren't yeah. fueled with coke rage.
Coke rage.
But meatball rage is pretty similar.
Meatball rage is very as a close second. What was your go-to fat kid snack?
Oh my god, dude!
So you said you were making bagel bites.
I mean, so there was these pizzas that you used to make that were like this big.
Yeah.
I don't remember. There was Celeste. Just came to me right now. Celeste pizzas.
Wow.
I don't even know if they were food, to be quite honest with you. They had sausage and peppers and whatever. I would eat.
They were playing the part.
They were posing, yeah, as pizza. And I would
eat
as many of them as I possibly could. And bagels. My dad would go get bagels on Sunday morning, get like a dozen and a half bagels.
Bagels is an easy fat kid move because you can dip it, you can spread something on it, you can eat it by itself, you can pack it full of stuff in the middle. It's just got universal appeal.
And it's, I mean, they really do a number on your feelings. It's, I mean, the best feeling destroyer.
Ever just slam a bag of those mini bagels?
No,
it would come like 40 in a bag, like mini bagels.
Yeah, I mean, those are deceptive as well. Anything mini is a trick, you know? They're mini.
Yeah, it's a trick. It's a true, because you're like, oh, I'll just have 15 of these and be fine.
Yeah.
That's like what? And then you do weird fat kid math where you're like, 15 mini bagels is like two regular ones.
It's like one bagel. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're staying up late, which was a consistent move. Folks let you do that a lot?
I mean, let is a...
But they weren't here this night.
No, I mean, like, they just, you know, were... My dad was working, my mom was asleep, so it was like,
great.
Let.
No one was checking on you.
Nobody was checking on me. And Full Frontal Comedy came on. And Dom Herrera and Joe Rogan were performing stand-up.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. I just couldn't believe how funny these people were. And it occurred to me that like these people had become professionally funny. It seemed like they were putting more effort into their jokes than I was. I was still doing Chris Farley impersonations and Ace Ventura, you know, whatever.
Bro, Ace Ventura is how I started.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I was... Did you memorize like chunks and like do it for your friends? Or just do it in the mirror by yourself.
I also remember.
You talked to your bagels, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I remember a friend of mine going, "Dude, it's enough."
Oh.
This was like 2 years after Ace Ventura came out. He's like, "It's enough. It's enough already."
A teenager to have the balls to be like,
"A friend.
People are talking."
It was like an intervention. Yeah. He was like, "It's enough." I was like, "All righty then."
Yeah. I was gonna say to G. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Is your number still 911? Yeah. Alrighty then.
Is that the red or the white?
Oh, I mean, that movie changed my life.
Me too.
Billy Madison, Ace Ventura.
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
A little earlier.
I can wrap it up in Chris Farley, to me, his most important character he ever played was Matt Foley.
Gotcha.
Matt Foley was like, gotcha. I mean, a dynamo.
Yep.
You know, what can I do to get back on track? The David Spade, Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
I can still watch it and laugh just almost as hard as I did when I was 13, 14.
Isn't that crazy how that holds up?
It's unbelievable.
Why do you think that sketch is so iconic? Because we do like I think we like knowing that people like as great as Spade and Applegate are immune or not immune to being in the presence of something so magnetic and just incredible and going, wow, I can't. Because you're like, because you're watching as a fan being like, there's no way I could keep a straight face.
Well, you know, they rehearsed it too.
Yes.
So they knew what was coming.
Yeah.
But like certain people he was so like, obviously he was big physically, but larger than life. I feel like if you were in a room with him, you could probably feel his energy. And on that night, in that sketch, in that moment in time, I think something happened where the planets shifted and he just, like, something just happened. I don't know how else to explain it, but I feel like in that moment, there was something that happened in that room where he, like, you know, crystallized something for me anyway. His freedom and his ownership over his physique and his ability to use it as a positive rather than a negative, because I was a fat blonde kid.
Yeah.
He just used it as a prop. He became as like a prop comedian.
So that almost gave you, I mean, hope, for lack of a better word, or what? Like, what did you see in that that made you go, okay, cool? Like, I mean, were you teased? Were you down on yourself?
Oh, yeah. You know, Resh has tits.
Yeah.
I heard a comedian once say, I don't remember who he was. It was at some club in Long Island. One of those things where I just happened to be there. And he was like, shirts versus skins?
Oof, dude.
I would have rather done
shirts. I had
children,
you just said that.
Shirts versus pants. No underwear. That's how much I hated
was insecure.
My body. Yeah.
Shirts versus... Oh, my God. That's so fucking funny.
I don't know why. I mean, whatever, dude. I was a fat kid. What are you going to do? I ate bagels for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Did you swim with your shirt on? I don't know who introduced that move, but it was like... it was the move. I mean, I'll definitely say, like, I... And that also lets you know how insecure and bad it was, where you're like, I'd rather obviously be like, because then there's no good excuse. When you're clearly big and you're wearing a shirt in the water and nobody else is.
Yeah.
Except for a girl who maybe like just developed in the second grade has such big breasts that she's like,
yeah,
I don't want people staring at me. And then you're like, whoop, plan backfired. Now they're sopping
now
wet.
Now it's a wet t-shirt
contest. Now it's a wet t-shirt contest. And I'm getting second place because I'm also a fat titty kid.
Maybe first.
Yeah, maybe first. Depending
on who you ask.
Depending on who's judging. If it's fucking her mom, she's probably picking me because she's like, she gets enough attention.
Or if you ask Uncle Gary, I might be getting first.
A lot of uncles are judging wet t-shirt contests that are stocked with young males.
Yeah, we all know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you literally, you become like an infant who's playing hide and seek. Like when you close your eyes, like the world has disappeared. Like nobody can see that I'm fat. Yeah. Everybody can see that you're fat. But I also place so much importance on how I looked that I definitively for me, I remember being 16 maybe, the fattest I ever was in my entire life. I mean,
at 16.
16 years old, I was working at a pool in Dix Hills. I was taking tickets as a whatever, like, you know, I don't even remember what it was.
You were buying tickets to the pool?
I collected tickets as people came in. That was my job.
Yeah, great.
But as part of it, you had access to the snack bar.
Yikes.
Right? And this fat, even fatter than me physically and mentally, you know how like he would feed me food to have somebody with him, right?
What?
Like,
he'd bribe you with snacks?
No, not bribe me, but like he was always eating. So like, you know, misery loves company. I'd go back there and be like, yo, let me get two double chocolate chip muffins and a blueberry slushy with 10 extra squirts of sugar.
Yeah, throw a couple muffins in that slushy if you're feeling it.
Grind it up, bro.
Grind it up.
And I would eat that every single day. Slushy. And I remember between 11th and 12th grade, this kid, Steve, he goes, what happened this summer to you? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you look like you gained weight. And in my mind, I was already so fat.
You couldn't get fatter.
How could I get fatter, bro?
I don't know. You had a muffin slushy.
I subsisted myself on muffins and sugar for 2 months.
You got fatter.
So I was like, oh man. So, but that summer, I remember there was a rainy day. Nobody showed up to the pool. All the lifeguards and the workers were hanging out, jumping in the pool. And I, rather than jump in the pool like a normal person, climbed under the diving board.
Yep.
On the ground, on the cement, slid my shirt off over my head and sealed my way into the water like to make a joke out of it, just so nobody would see my tits. And everyone was like, oh, you're so funny. I was like, did you see my tits? That's all I want to know. Who saw my tits? And then getting out of the pool was like waiting for, you know.
Dude, trust me.
Oh my God, lightning. And then I jump out of the pool.
Bro,
you know?
Isn't that such a fucking, like, I went through the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm reliving the trauma right now. People, I'm glad I'm here.
No, dude. Well, this is where, hey man, this is where we find the funny. And well, this is where the comedy bone, I think, is born from.
From fat cells. Yeah.
Those meatball nights were a lot more influential. No, I think... at least for me, I know that eventually it got to a point to where it was like, yeah, by becoming the funny kid, I wasn't the fat kid. And I'm sure you felt a little bit of that, yeah?
Yeah, Chris Farley. Yeah. I mean, if I could just make you laugh first, like, because I was getting made fun of, but not as much as I thought. I remember pretty recently, I used to say I was bullied all the time. I was bullied mercilessly, blah, blah, blah. In reality, it was probably like 7 or 8 times that somebody said something to me.
Yeah, but stuck.
But it felt like all the time because that's enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And kids are cool and they don't know, but they also do know what they're doing, but they're just so careless with their, like, you know, they don't realize the impact, I think. And also, I think we're probably innately pretty good as kids of just, like, not wanting to show that it hurts, right? So, like, that, I think, gives them a little bit more rope to go, oh, cool, like, I can just, that didn't bother him. We're all just saying, I'm just saying shit. Like, I just threw an insult his way, and it's like, no, I'm actually going to go home and think about, you know, robbing a grocery store and just so I can clean it out.
Well, instead of eating 3 bagels tonight, I'm going to eat 5. Yeah. I'll show you.
Wait, so how did your folks, because now you're like a jacked dude. So like what?
I saw Pumping Iron when I was like 9.
Great.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
9?
8, 9, yeah.
Great.
Tried to sneak workouts in my basement. My dad caught me working out, which is like, as at that point, getting caught jerking off. It was as embarrassing. I was like, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. I threw the weights.
I'm just trying to beat my best power clean record.
Yeah, I was benching on the ground, and he's like, you can't do this yet. You can't do this yet. You're going to stunt your growth.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care. I want to die. I'm so fat. I got to not be fat anymore.
Wow.
I didn't say that to him.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay.
Wow, dude.
You know, so I was like, when can I start? He's like, 13, after 8th grade, you can start.
Great.
So I started when I was like 12 and 10 months.
Yeah.
So I started working out in 8th grade, and...
Did it just fall off you?
The weight?
Yeah.
No, I got fatter. But bigger and stronger.
Okay.
So I became huge. I mean, I was in 8th grade, dude, I was like 190 pounds. I was huge. In 9th grade, I was 210.
Wow.
In 12th grade, I was 245.
Yep.
But I was benching 350.
Incredible.
I was like an animal.
Yeah.
You know? I had stretch marks. Like, I just didn't care about anything except being strong. I figured if I was... So, to your point before, if I was fat, if I was funny, was I not fat? In my mind, it was more like... I was definitely funny, so I didn't care about that. I was more like, if I was strong, I wasn't fat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But, like, we all know that strong guys are still fat. It's kind of, you know... You can be both.
Who were you? So Arnold, did you have guys that you were looking up to when you were working out? Did you have like a goal? Were you like watching Richard Simmons DVDs? Like what was the
yeah?
What was the
tons game of Richard Simmons DVDs in my house growing up. He was my idol.
Your dad was like, just watch these if you're gonna do anything.
Yeah. No, I mean it was my parents set a pretty good example as far as exercise went.
Yeah.
But there was no like, I just wanted to be jacked.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to be jacked, but I couldn't figure out the diet thing until 12th grade, and then I finally lost the weight, and I lost like 60 pounds in a year. Less than a year, like in the school year.
Wow.
From senior pictures to prom pictures, different person.
Crazy.
And then I couldn't believe what my face looked like. I was like, is this what my fucking face looks like? What?
Were you pumped about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you, so confidence grows from that? Because, you know,
ego grows from that.
Gotcha.
Ego grew from that, and then I had to figure out how to turn it into confidence because I was getting, like, I was so concerned, again, still with how I looked. It was, except it was a different concern. Hmm. It was instead of a fear, it was a desperation, like, I needed approval. I don't know, but I still love, primarily... Humor. I still used humor all the time to deal with everything, every bit of pain I ever had in my entire life.
Did this come from your folks, or was this just like an innate thing you just found? Like, were they funny? Who were the funny people in your family that even like got you, that you could banter with, riff with, or?
My sister, gotcha. My younger sister, yeah. Joellen. And so my mom was funny with us. My dad, great guy, but when he was working, so now I see how he is with my grandson. I mean, my son, his grandson. And I'm like...
That was a fair slip up. Sometimes your son can feel like your grandson, right?
Yeah, yeah, he is grand. So I see how he is with my son, and I'm like, oh, that's the kind of dad you would have been if you weren't so fucking stressed out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. But he was always like, stop laughing. Stop messing around. Stop messing around at the dinner table. Stop laughing. Yeah, and we'd be like, ah, come on.
We're such a buzzkill.
We're having fun, dude.
Yeah. This is what it looks like.
Fun. But then so I remember finding a card that his workers wrote him either for his birthday or retirement or I don't know. Maybe it wasn't retirement. It was something though. And they were like, Chugger. His nickname was Chugger, right? So weird because he got the nickname Chugger because he used to chug his milk. But then he wound up being an engineer for the Long Island Railroad. Chugger, chugger, choo-choo.
Great.
Then he also drank a ton of beer. He chugged that, too. This guy's a chugger all around.
So everything he did, the nickname just...
It was written.
Came with it.
Yeah. And we found a card, and it was like, Chugger, you know, we all the guys in the office or in the yard really appreciate your sense of humor. And I looked at the name again. I was like, is this... I said to my sister, I'm like, is this to our dad?
Hilarious.
Who is this card to? Because yeah. I swear it's like, it can't be to the same guy. And then I was like, maybe there's a different version of him out there.
Probably.
And then I was like, that's okay. It is what it is. What are we going to do? And then my parents started to become people. And then it was like, oh, they probably do have lives outside of us. And they probably had lives before us.
Yeah.
Like they met. They didn't know each other at one point. And then I was like, all right, I need to like figure some things out here, you know?
Wow. Yeah, the shift of recognizing your parents as people and not just parents is a big one. And same thing happened for me where I was able to like go, oh, this is where I got my sense of humor from. And also be able to enjoy them a little bit more instead of looking at them as just these like gatekeepers that are trying to either squash the good times or keep you from things. And it's like, yeah, there is a little bit of that, especially when you're growing up. It's like that, I, you know, now looking at my, you know, how my sister and brother-in-law are raising my nieces and nephew, I'm like, fuck, dude, like half the time you're just like trying to make sure they don't fucking die.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. They're literally trying to keep you from killing yourself.
Yeah, dude.
When they're raising you.
Yeah.
So that's important to...
You don't see that.
No, you just...
And it's not like the kid is like, if I'm going to die, let me die. It's not that. It's just like the kid, you think you're fucking invincible. And it's such a weird thing for a kid to talk shit to a parent to be like, just let me jump off the fucking roof onto the trampoline into the pool. And you're like,
whew. Yeah.
I know it sounds awesome and you saw a video of a kid doing it.
Yeah.
But there's no way you're going to survive this. You don't know that. You just don't want me to do it.
And it's not.
You're
that,
right.
It's not that there's no way they're going to survive it. It's that there's a chance, a better chance than you standing on the ground, that if you jump off the roof onto the trampoline into the pool, weighing them out, you're much better off not doing it.
Yeah.
Like my mom was-
Provide an alternative piece of fun.
Yeah.
Is not your job, I feel like, versus just don't do it.
Like my mom raising us would tell us, and I understand like, because it came from her fear of watching her kids get hurt.
Yeah.
She'd say, if you go in the street, you will get hit by a car and die.
Whoa.
Not if you go in the street and there's a car coming and you don't see them and they don't see you and it hits you.
Cars will find you.
Yeah,
they'll hear you creeping.
Foot touches asphalt. I go flying 1,000 feet. My body disintegrates. Nice knowing you, kid.
That's what you've created for yourself is what's going to go down.
That's 100% the only way things could possibly go down. That's the image that was created in my mind.
Holy shit.
So I understand where that comes from now because she was raised by a fearful grandfather, a father. But he was also... raised to be fearful. He was orphaned at 4. His parents dropped him off at an orphanage and that shaped the way he saw the world. It's like there's always a reason that people are the way they are.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, don't you normally have fun on this podcast? What are we
doing? This is great. Oh, this is great. Yeah. A lot of fun. Yeah. Oh, we're getting to it, by the way.
I'm fucking sweating.
No, you're perfect. Do you want to turn the air on? Are you good?
No, I just want to stop talking about my trauma.
Great. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
For real? Is this bugging you? Let's talk about Ellen. You met Ellen. That was pretty cool.
I said I want to stop talking about my trauma.
Was that traumatic?
No, it was great. It was great.
So we'll circle back to just like what you've, you know, created and where you are and how this has all come to be. I mean, we met through the gram, more or less?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been obviously following you for quite some time and just been a fan of all the accounts, which is what? Go through them for me.
Tank Sinatra was the first one, then Tank's Good News, then Influencers in the Wild. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Was this all out of, I guess we will just start here, out of what, boredom, out of wanting to, some social media pops off?
Being fat.
For real?
At the foundation, yeah.
When you started with Tank Sinatra really kind of getting going, yeah?
Well, I mean, then, I don't know. I always had something on the side when I was working to scratch the creative itch.
Right.
So when I got sober in October 3rd, 2002,
okay.
I was like, what the hell am I going to do with all this time? I spent a lot of time drinking.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Good times?
Can
you look back safely now and, like, you know, isolate a few times where you go, fucking that night we crushed Creed's Higher. And that one guy in the back who was half awake, like, really dug it.
Creed's Higher is a song you're talking about? Or is that a club? Are you
this
talking
has
about
been Tank Sinatra on the About Last
doing
Night.
Doing karaoke?
Yeah, singing Creed's Higher?
Yeah.
Can you take me higher?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you never.
I was just
little...
making sure you were referencing that, because that doesn't seem like a good time to me at all.
Yeah, it was a joke. It was a joke. Is there a karaoke song you would sing drunk that you
I
would
did
go...
the thong song.
Great.
But I don't think I was drunk. I probably was drunk.
Yeah.
Actually. I did it with my sister in Great. Montauk.
Great.
Very strange. Yeah, they were like, give it up for this couple. We were like, we're family, brother, sister. They were like, that was weird that you did that song.
I think that's a Pornhub category somewhere.
Yeah,
brother,
yeah.
Brother, sister, sing thong song
sing
in Montauk.
Thong song. Yeah, 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 yeah. So...
A few good times, boozing.
I'm trying to think, dude. So people will ask me sometimes, do you miss it? And I'm like, you're talking about a totally different thing than I'm talking about.
Yes.
When you think of drinking and smoking weed and doing drugs, in your mind, you're thinking of a very different experience than I'm thinking of.
Yep.
So... trying to think of an analogy that would make sense. Like me, you know, do you miss punching yourself in the balls every day? No.
Yeah.
It was torture. It sucked. I didn't enjoy almost any of it because
gotcha.
Most of it was against my will.
Yep.
Mentally, I'd wake up and go, I can't believe I survived that.
Wow.
I don't want to do that again tonight.
But then back on the saddle.
Something would happen, the obsession would appear and I'd go, all right, I'm not, I know I want to, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And then I'd go, and then the thing in my head would go, you're gonna, whether you like it or not.
That was the voice?
It was the, you know, this thing inside where it's like, so have you ever had poison ivy?
No.
Okay, that's-
Is that a Capri Sun flavor?
Yeah. No, poison ivy is-
No, it's the, you're in a field and it's- So it's just your body, it gives you hives, right?
The only way I've ever been able to describe it to people that are not alcoholic is you have poison ivy and it itches bad.
Mm.
You know you're not supposed to scratch it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you're not supposed to do is scratch it. But it itches so bad
yeah.
that you just want to scratch it a little bit in the one area that it itches. You're just gonna scratch, the whole arm is itchy, you're just gonna scratch it right here.
Yeah.
Soon as you scratch that one part, all the other areas start going, scratch me, scratch me, scratch me. Before you know it, you're scratching your whole fucking body, then you touch your neck, now you got it over here. A couple hours later, you're bloody everywhere. And you've
made to leave the Panera.
You've made a terrible mistake. But it feels so good when you start.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you can't predict where you're going to wind up.
That makes sense.
Were
you doing stand-up at this point?
I did, when I was drinking?
Yeah.
No. I did stand-up after I got sober because I just always wanted to try it, hated it.
What about didn't click for you?
I just don't get anything from the laughs.
Gotcha.
You know, I just don't feel the laughs.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's probably the whole thing.
Yeah, feeling the, I mean, whether it's the adulation, the validation, but then the connect with the crowd. You weren't vibing on that.
No, you know what my favorite thing to do is
What's
with
that?
People? I've done this multiple times in my life. I actually make it like kind of a point to make people spit out their drink. That's like my favorite thing to
get
do.
A little spit take.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a real spit take where like it's a problem and it comes out. Not... like that. I don't like
coming
that.
Out That's, the nose, you choke on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want it out. I want it out with force. I've done that like 15 times.
That's a lot.
I know.
A good spit take is underrated.
Oh, it's so satisfying.
Especially when you see it truly in an everyday situation. Like, I've seen it at restaurants a few times.
Yeah, I did it to my friend Dave at the Cheesecake Factory once.
Awesome.
And I waited.
It's another Pornhub category.
Yeah, making Dave do spit takes at the Cheesecake Factory. I waited for the right moment because I knew we had both looked at this baby who had kind of a crazy face.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I've seen like six of those in the last month, by the way.
Yeah. And I said,
adult faced babies or just
weird-faced
babies?
I said, that baby looks like a man. But yeah. I waited till he took a sip of his drink and we both looked away from the baby. And then I looked back at it and looked at him right in the eyes and said it. And he spit his drink all awesome. Over the place. He got some on me. I didn't even care.
You timed it out.
Oh, it was deliberate.
That's a big part of this spit take.
You totally deliberate.
You got to have that line locked and loaded.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready to go.
Yeah.
And you got to be willing to shoot from the hip.
Oh, man.
Can't be scared.
That's amazing. Okay, so you're sobered up and you're like, I got a lot of time, so comedy is something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Did you have any other plan of like how you're gonna fill the time coming out of getting sober, or was it just like fight or flight, like let me just start throwing darts?
Well, working, exercise. I was working in restaurants,
yeah.
Waiting tables.
We good?
As a waiter?
Yeah.
The best. I was the best.
You were like this, quick, witty, direct, quick.
Oh yeah, recommend, upsell. Collecting.
You also feel like you're concise. I feel like you were just like, what's up guys, here's what we got, blah blah blah, you good, doing this, all right cool, I'll be back, and then you're firing off some jokes when you come back, something here.
Oh yeah,
and there.
Yeah, and I wasn't a joke so that the other thing about stand-up that drove me nuts was repeating jokes. I hate repeating jokes.
Gotcha.
Dude, I want to fire them off, and I need to feel as much energy for them as I want you to, and I don't feel it when I repeat them.
Gotcha.
So I never had like a set, you know, set like roster of jokes when I was waiting tables.
Right.
It was always based on the people. So I would take, you know, I always treated my section like my own little restaurant. Like I was militant about what was happening in that little area of the restaurant. So,
that's a way to look at it.
But I also treated, I actually ran into the guy who used to own this restaurant. It was the Blue Hanoo in Huntington, Long Island. It had just opened up. Huntington was like not a great area at the time. This place was kind of like reinvigorating the town.
Yeah.
And he would say, I guess I was 22 or 23 when I started working there. So I started working there when I was still drinking. And then I sobered up and worked there for another 5 years.
Wow.
So I remember saying to this one of the owners there, I was like, thank you so much for this job. Because I was making like $80 a night at the other restaurant I was working at, working one night a week. And when I started working there, I was making like $250, $200, $300 a night sometimes, working four or five nights a week.
What was the difference?
Much busier,
yeah.
And more hours.
Yeah.
So I told the owner, I'm like, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. He was a friend of my father's friend. So my dad told me, go into this place. They're opening. They're looking for people. So I walked in there, almost no experience, but I sold myself. And a couple of weeks into the opening, I said, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it, yada, yada, yada. He's like, no problem. You're doing a great job. We appreciate you having, you know, we love having you here, whatever. 2 minutes later, I cleared a table. There was an apple martini on the table. I go back to the busing station, the dishwasher. I'm unloading it. I take the apple martini. I go like this. I take a sip of it, start drinking it. He comes up behind me, taps me on the shoulder and goes, what the fuck, dude?
Oh, man.
Weren't you just telling me how grateful you were?
Did you go, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I was like, oh, man, I just felt so small.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, so
oh, man.
Do I miss it? No.
Dude, that's like when I worked at Albertsons and I was 2 weeks away from quitting and moving to LA to go to college. And I worked every job, bagger, stalker, checker, customer service. And the customer service was the last job I had there. And they caught me on film. They had just installed cameras 2 weeks before I quit. And they caught me stealing beer, film, fucking handing out cases of Dr. Pepper to my buddies. And my boss calls me into his office and pulls up a tape on the thing. And I was like a star employee. And like he loved me. I'd been there for fucking all of high school. Like my mom and I used to go there. Like before I got to high school, so I knew the two bosses, and now I'm like about to go to school, and they all came to my high school plays, and like,
oh my God.
And he pulls me in the office 2 weeks before I'm about to move to LA, and he just hits play on the thing and just goes and just watches me like handing shit off, and I'm just like, oh, I go, what is this? And he just turns it off, and he goes, so obviously you're fired, and I go, fuck, and
yeah.
He goes, I know, man. He goes, what the fuck? And I was like,
this is my first role. My first on film.
I was like,
role.
Can we put this on my reel?
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a I don't want to say everyone should go through or have that feeling, but like there is something to be said. I sat on stage once, and I think I meant it. We're talking about getting cheated on once, and I was like, everyone should feel that. at some point. But I think what I meant was just like, you know, the character building opportunities that you get in life from certain tragic moments, whether it's death or like having that happen, like look out, like I'm sure you fucking gained a lot in that moment as far as like what your next move is, right? And like the ability to reflect on that and the opportunity for like growth from things like that that aren't like, you know, fucking, yeah, you lose that job. Did he fire you?
No. I worked there for another 5 years.
Wow, so that was in the middle.
It was right in the beginning.
So then that's when you sobered up also,
so,
yeah.
So then that happened, and then another maybe month or 2 months later, I got pulled over on the way home from that job. After I got off, and then I went to a bar and drank so much, and then drove home and got pulled over, and 1,000% should have gotten taken in, but for some reason, the guy didn't take me in, and then a week later, I wound up getting sober.
Wow, dude.
So if I had gotten a DWI that night, who knows what would have happened? My confidence could have spiraled. I would have been saddled with bills and lawyers and attorney, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah.
And I could be dead now. First of all, second of all, I could be living a totally different life. It was like a George Bailey type of situation where it's like
my favorite grill.
You're not very limited on choices when it comes to George. Two separate paths where it's like, which one do I go down? And a week later, like I said, I wound up, it had taken its toll, and I was like, you know what? This is not getting any better. This is a progressive illness. It's going to get worse until I die, or I get dragged along wishing I was dead, which I kind of already did for a while at that point. Again, I'm, you know, keeping it real light here.
So you, we're transitioning back to Ellen.
Dick? Oh, what's up, Balls? I've been getting cut a lot by the razor. Can you say something to him? Ah, man, it's kind of a tough area because, you know, I'm doing the whole boob and vagina thing right now. And, you know, it's just a lot. Yeah, no, I get it.
Sounds like you could use some help. Hi, I'm Dick Feelgooder. And our friends at Manscaped have just brought back the Ultra Smooth Package because it's time to stop, drop, and order this premium shaving kit. Everyone knows by now that the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best electric shave for your balls. But if you're looking for a closer shave to go down bare down there, the Ultra Smooth Package is the perfect set. It's time to shave the bush of yours and get right to the roots with a discount just for you. 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code ABOUT20. If you want to protect, shave, and buff up your smooth, sensitive areas, I'm talking about the Crop Shaver Razor. That's right, Manscaped has the Crop Shaver Razor, the Crop Exfoliator, and Crop Gel, so that you don't have to borrow your lady's razor for that precise trim. The Manscaped Ultra Smooth Package is a three-step kit to make your package the perfect package. But first, you want to grab your handy Lawnmower 4.0 and give your boys, your balls, the classic trim to your liking and get those loose hairs out of the way, and then take out the Manscaped Ultra Smooth Package to get that closer shave. Exfoliator, check. Crop gel, check. It's time to shave with the Crop Shaver. It's designed to shave the groin area with confidence, something you're lacking with your big hairy balls. This razor has precision blades, including extra wide lubricating strips and a pivoting head for the ultimate groin grooming experience. All three of these vegan, cruelty-free, and sulfate-free products are included so that you know your manhood is in good hands and without compromise. So get up close and personal with the best tools for the job, your balls, the Ultra Smooth Package from Manscaped. Right now, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ABOUT20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code ABOUT20 at manscaped.com. Smooth out your balls, relaunch your penis into a world of freedom with the Ultra Smooth Package from the fellas at Manscaped.
When you start to become invested in social media and memes and comedy and jokes, like, is it all just, did you have a sit down like, what the fuck, I'm gonna start make an active choice to be posting a lot? Did you start, like, you know, writing down, you know, vision board style, a shit ton of memes? Like, how did you how did this world and you come together?
So got sober, made a blog called Insight Is Never 2020.
Cool.
Because hindsight is always 2020.
I love it.
And I was very clever back then. Then I made a blog called jayzfordummies.com.
Great.
Because Jay-Z is the greatest entertainer ever.
Sure.
And he's got a lot of hidden meanings in his lyrics, and I wanted to explain to people what he was really saying.
Great.
A lot of double and triple entendres.
Great.
Between those two blogs, I had a total of about 7 readers. I think, maybe. Then I started a blog called happyisthenewrich.com, which was a video blog, which I started out here. The story's too long, but basically that was the first time that I think anybody found it that wasn't my family or friends.
I was going to say, those seven readers were probably tied to you pretty close, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my mom making burner accounts just to like help me build my self-esteem.
She makes one as a cat.
By the way, dude, I tried out for the Win Your Own show on the Oprah Winfrey Network, which is why I made Happy Is the New Rich.
Oh, my God.
.com.
I remember that.
Do you remember that contest?
Yes.
Oh, I drove my friends and family nuts, dude.
Trying to get them to vote and support.
This was
and
before
click.
It was obvious that these contests were just a ploy to get people to know about something.
Yes.
This was 2009.
No one was getting a show.
Nobody was. Well, no, a woman got a show.
Who?
Christina Kuzmic.
Who?
Yeah. Christina Kuzmic. She got like a cooking show or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Oprah's, what? Oprah created Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Tony Robbins.
No, Tony not Tony Robbins.
Tony Danza.
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio.
Yeah. Buddy. Buddy Lembeck.
The entire Charles in Charge cast came from Oprah's casting net.
Yeah, Oprah had a great halo around her for a long time. And
come
now
on,
it's like.
Dude. Oh, is it? Has it kind of been tarnished?
Well, when you say she created Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz 10 years ago, it's like she created Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. Now it's like she created Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Phil is like, Dr. Oz is like,
Yeah.
He's kind of, you know, he's lost the thread a little bit.
Yeah, it's.
He lost the thread when he started pushing, you know, these bullshit supplements on his show. It's like, bro, are you a doctor or are you a
snake oil salesman?
A fucking personal trainer at LA Fitness. What are we doing here? You've a multi-level marketing guy or what?
Yeah.
But now he's like running for senator or Congress and he's gone way far right and he's like, you know, just looks like a gremlin, you know?
I D'd him up in the 2019 NBA Celebrity All-Star Game.
Nice.
And he was throwing some bows.
Was he?
Jermaine O'Neal style. I was like.
Probably all those ketones.
Yeah.
You know, throw them ketones.
Okay.
Okay, so Happy Is the New Rich. Then I started ifoundmoneytoday.com. I won a Webby Award for that.
Awesome.
That was great. But I let that die because I was still kind of a loser mentally.
Were you enjoying this
process?
Yeah.
Of course. I love creating and failing.
Awesome.
And I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, I love creating, failing, learning,
reiterating. That's what I wanted to get to is like, where, what was fueling all this? Was it a. Just sober, now I got downtime, or it sounds like you always had this ability to...
I got something to say, yeah. I feel like. And whether or not people care is up to them, but doesn't change the fact that I think I got something to say.
And it is not a small feat to even get to a point to where you're like, I'm going to create something, but I'm also going to put it out there for people to now... I remember when YouTube first hit, and there was a moment when I was like, I need to start making YouTube videos like I did in high school with my buddies, and putting them out there, and sending them to these mass email lists I've created from college and home, and acting class, and improv class, and these whatever... And start just being like, here's what I'm doing, and bombarding people with your, but just to get to a point to where you're like, I'm gonna start doing it, but also now, you know, make myself susceptible to any sort of critique is no small feat.
Yeah.
Cause it's why a lot of people don't do it. And a lot of people look at you being like, what the fuck you send me your bullshit? And you're like, well, fucking like it or you don't,
did you
or
like
unsubscribe.
It?
Yeah, did you like it? Like, yeah, it's funny, but fuck, every week I get another fucking, you know, but it's part of it.
Yeah,
people, and it's how you start to find your voice, right? Because you're...
Well, every time you send somebody something that you created, you remind them that they have not done that.
There it is. Wow, dude. And we'll be right back. Everything you don't create is something someone else has created in spite of your lack of hustle and determination. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you go, I'm just a filthy, stinky cunt. But it's not your fault, but it is. We'll be right back.
Great job, Dr. Phil.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
It really is.
You have a lot of just built-in hustle, I think, that is that people probably look at, like, you know, your success and the what you've built and probably just go, oh yeah, like it's like anyone who gets to that level, they go, yeah, you're a funny guy, you got the work ethic and like all, but it's like, dude, hearing this these beginning roots, it's like you had to plant a lot of seeds.
Well, I also want to get across the point how lazy I was. So yeah, I had this desire, but I also was not willing to do the work, which is why most of the things that I did failed.
Gotcha.
So I was driven, but only in my intentions. My actions never followed through. So,
like what, you would start and you would kind of give it a little bit of time to pop and then if it didn't, you just go on to the next thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So Tank Sinatra started in 2000, the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, somewhere around then.
Yeah.
And like you said, I started posting memes on my personal page. I had like, I don't know, 350 followers or something like that. And I posted a meme. All of a sudden, I had like 342 followers. And I was like, no, that's the wrong way. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then I looked and I was like, my friend's wife unfollowed me. My cousin unfollowed me. I was like, what the fuck, guys? You don't like my memes?
Yeah.
Posted one meme, dude.
What was it?
I don't remember
you
what it was.
You posted one recently that's great where of a cat smoking a cigarette and says, like, I've got nine lives, but it also means I have like nine midlife crises.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny.
So once I started to create my own memes, back then nobody was making their own memes.
Yeah.
A few people. Me, this guy Trev Soul Electric, who passed away, unfortunately.
She got in early.
Very early. Yeah, but bro, even back then, here's the thing. Nobody knows what's happening. Even back then, I felt like I was too late. Because Fuck Jerry and Fat Jewish and Daddy Issues and Girl With No Job, they had all started already. So I was like, ah, they got it. They're already, you know, they're already going. What's the point?
Yeah.
So
you felt like the market was saturated and you were just going to be another, you would just fall by the wayside.
Because there was already four accounts that were doing it.
That's so funny.
Five
dude.
Accounts.
I felt like that way when podcasts started. And there was like a five podcast.
Yeah. I mean, if you have something unique to say that is authentic to you,
there's room for it.
The people will find you.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, there's enough people and enough shit. Like, it does feel like there is, like, too much to consume. But, like, hey, man, the cream does rise to the top.
But additionally, there's too much to consume today.
Yes.
No matter how big something gets, people stop doing what they're doing. And Joe Rogan, the biggest podcaster in the world... who's another, like, Call Her Daddy, Armchair Expert.
Mm.
People have, you know, they listen to them for 5, 6, 7 years. At some point, they'll go, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to listen to something else.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time. It's cyclical. People who, like Sebastian Maniscalco, selling out Madison Square Garden. I love Sebastian Maniscalco.
He's one of the best.
He's not going to sell out Madison Square Garden forever because nobody ever does. Poison, the biggest band ever in my mind as a kid, they're not selling out MSG anymore, dude. Yeah. Andrew Dice Clay, I used to sell out the Garden, the Olive Garden. Oh! I mean, there was nothing bigger than him back then.
Yeah, crazy.
Who would have thought he would not be selling out the Garden today in the 80s?
Yeah? You think it's never going to end?
You think it's never going to end.
It all
as
does.
The person in the position and the person outside of the position,
yes.
You go, why bother? There's already somebody bigger than me. Why bother?
Mm.
Well, I guess, yeah, why bother? If you got nothing to fucking do, nothing to say, then don't do it. Leave room for somebody who actually wants to do it.
Yeah.
Don't fake it. Don't do it for the wrong reasons. Do it because you would literally go insane if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason to do it. If I didn't have an outlet, bro, to express myself, that's why I started the 3 pages, because it's like Tank Sinatra wasn't enough. I had other things I wanted to say. I had other outlets.
Yeah, and so Influencers in the Wild was next, or no,
Tank's Good News was next.
And that one's great, and I think I heard you say on Ellen, which was awesome, and was that a real treat? Did she reach out to you? How did that...
No, so that was me finessing my way onto that show for, I think it took me like a year and a half to get on that show.
Nice.
She pranked one of her producers. I clicked on the tag in the caption on At the Ellen Show. Then I saw that he followed me, so I followed him, didn't write any DMs or anything. Then I saw something, I saw his credit in another show. I was like, hey, I didn't know you produced this show. Congratulations. And then he wrote back immediately. He's like, dang, so glad to hear from you, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw something else, and I liked the picture, and he's like, thanks for liking my picture. And I was like, hey, I have something I want to run by you if you have some time. This all was over the course of like 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
So patience and persistence, invaluable.
1,000%.
So then we got on the call. I set it up. I went out to meet them. I told them my ideas. They said, yeah, these sound good, whatever. Then I arranged it with, you know, this is like stars aligning, dude. That's like, so a good friend of mine said to me, I was being impatient at times, obviously, because you want things to happen.
Of course.
You want the date.
Anyone in this business just, inevitable feeling for anyone, because you just get a little taste of something and you want more.
But it's a wave.
Yeah.
You got to let the wave wash over you.
Yes.
Let the impatience go. Don't let the impatience drive you to bother these people, because these people have enough going on.
Yeah.
And if you seem like you don't have anything going on, it's not a good look.
Nope.
So he goes, bro, it takes time for God to align the stars. You got to just chill out. And I was like, yeah. Like, I could get a newspaper, a local newspaper to write an article on me tomorrow if I wanted to. Reach out to them. Hey, I got something going on. I want to get it in there. You want to get on Ellen, the biggest daytime talk show on air right now?
Sure.
You're going to have to... You're going to have to wait for a little while things move and cogs grind and just hang out and wait for the call. So it finally happened, and I sat on the couch. I barely remember a thing.
Wow.
All I remember is walking out and—
Did you dance?
Bro, I barely made it out to the couch.
Why? Shaken?
So if you— I recorded the appearance. If you watch me walk out, I go—
Can we?
When I walk out, I don't know if it's gonna— I don't think it's gonna be on the—
Oh, it's
YouTube
just gonna
clip.
Be the couch.
So it's
cut your walk out.
The walk out is—
They go, we'll edit this out.
I go walk out, and I go like this as soon as I walk out because I don't know like where to go.
Did you
walk
at least
out,
try to turn it into a dance move like a shimmy?
No, they start screaming at you as soon as you walk out. I was like, oh, I gotta fight everybody. My body was like, I'm gonna have to kill all these women in front of cameras. You know, I went full blown caveman.
Holy shit.
But they said it happens to everybody.
You just get overwhelmed with the...
The guy Corey Pallant, who booked me on the show, awesome, awesome guy, goes, first of all, relax, you did great. Second of all, do you know why we're able to scare people on this show? It's because everybody forgets who they are, where they are, and what they're doing when they sit down on the couch. Like P. Diddy, who they famously scared, and he jumped up and like ran away. He goes, that man has performed in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
He said, y'all not gonna scare me. He goes, we got him worse than anybody that's ever been gotten on the show.
Wow.
He pointed, we actually happened to be standing by the picture. He goes, that's me in the clown suit. That's him jumping out of the chair.
Holy shit.
He goes, everyone forgets what they're doing when they walk out there.
But you were able to settle in and
I was able to breathe like a half a minute, 30 seconds into the interview.
Yeah, that was cool because you, you know, greeting the tank's good news page, she was a big fan of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like you said, she's, you know, the queen of kindness and has done so much, like Oprah, you know, for people. Like the amount of crazy interviews and whatever bullshit you hear, it's like, you can't, that's fine. Like you can recognize that stuff, the off stage persona and things that people have said or not said. But what they've done for people is astronomical.
Yeah.
And the amount of money that has been like given back and the amount of like lives that they've changed, like pretty cool. And, you know, it would be, you'd be, you know, wrong to not go. There's a lot of good that's been done.
Bro, so when that whole thing happened, right? She was, if you ever watch her interview on Letterman, David Letterman,
no.
My next guest is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah.
So she was raped
for
like 3 years of her life by her stepfather.
Yep.
That's going to do a number on you psychologically.
Oh, yeah.
Then she came out as gay, lost her career. Then she was not gay enough. It's like, at what point do you go, you know what, fuck everybody? But then on top of that, so forget about that. Forget about that underlying tension in her life. She's the CEO / president / head, matriarch, whatever, of $100-300 million a year company. You're a stupid intern, low level, new hire at a company. Stop trying to say hello to her in the hallway. Leave her alone. She doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
When I interned at Def Jam, I was dying to get Jay-Z's attention. I said, you know, like walk past him, you know, throw the diamond up. I never threw the diamond up. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
When I would get there and I saw the Maybach outside, I'd go, oh God, Jay-Z is here. Fuck. I hope I see him. I hope I see him.
Yeah.
It was told to me very early on. I actually got told a story about a girl who went up to him, told him what a big fan she was, how much, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She fanned out, fired. That man is the president of the company. Don't do that. Just because it's entertainment doesn't mean you get to do that. If you worked at Nabisco and you saw the CEO of Nabisco walking down the hall and you were like, dude, I just want to let you know, I love the crackers here. I mean, they are so good. I know you're on your way to a meeting, but I just want to take a minute to tell you how much,
dude,
my childhood.
The shredded wheat is so shredded.
I mean, you let it soak in the milk. I don't know if you do that. I would highly recommend it. Yeah, thanks. Fucking fire that guy. You know, leave her alone.
I know.
these sense, I mean, I get it. You're young. I don't think it's just generation. I think it's young people in general.
Yeah.
They're sensitive when.
Read the room. Have some tact.
Leave her alone.
Yeah.
And stop telling people on the outside, my boss was mean to me. I remember seeing this this article. By the way, I want to mention that I have a podcast with called Meme Daddies with Adam, the creator,
yes.
who created the yes. board game with.
Yes.
We did a run on this article about Dr. Phil. Is the Dr. Phil a toxic place to work? And we read all the things.
There's some stuff that's come out. I've had people at shows drunkenly confess certain things about that environment, but continue.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, of course it is. Work sucks, people. It's not supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
You want work to be fun, create your own job, create your own environment. If you get hired at a place to work, I'm not talking about sexual assault right. or racism or anything like that, but if your boss is mean to you, shut the fuck up and go back to work or go get another job.
Not every job should be, what, fun? Is that what
not
you're...
Every job should be fun all the time.
All the time.
Sometimes yeah. you just have to work.
Yeah.
And people get stressed out. And especially in daytime talk shows. I mean, you've been on talk shows.
Yeah.
Every minute is planned.
Totally.
Every single second of every minute is planned.
And it's always adjusted because there's, you know, there's always audibles being
it's
called.
It's a fire drill 24/7.
Totally.
So the stress level's super high. It's not toxic. It's just high stakes because there's so much money involved.
Wow.
So you want to go work at a deli and not be toxic? I mean, or you want to be toxic in a different way where someone throws a piece of turkey at your face? Be toxic that way. But yeah. if you want to work in entertainment or banking or something where you have the opportunity to make a ton of money
yeah.
and get experience that you want, get ready for some like not fun times.
Also,
is all I'm saying.
1,000%. And I feel like it would be more fun to work at a place where the boss does have a comedically cartoony voice to where if he does kind of throw some shade your way, like,
yeah.
don't look me in the eyes when you hear me click-clacking out of the bathroom. And by the way,
don't smell it either.
Don't smell it. Don't go in there for at least fit. And it was your job to replace the toilet paper, and I told you I want tampon and multicolored condom machines.
Robin likes purple.
Yeah, Robin likes purple.
They were in the article, just real quick, they were, I remember this line, they were like, I work for a therapist, but now I have to go to therapy or something like that.
Hilarious.
And I was like, yeah, join the fucking club.
So the podcast is
I
called
go to therapy too.
Yeah. The podcast is called what?
Meme Daddies.
Yes.
So because we look at memes, we make memes for a living, and it's called Daddies because we're very sexy and we're old.
And your fathers.
And we have children. Yeah. And mainly because we're sexy though.
The Tank Good news.
Tank's Good News.
Tank's Good News. Which page do you, and then Influencers in the Wild came from, well, so Tank's Good News, you're sharing a lot of, and you told on Ellen too, you said like there's just a lot of bullshit and negativity.
Yeah.
And this was your way to like cut through that and focus, because I think this country does, unfortunately, like, yeah, like what people like to see the bad shit. But we also love to see the good shit. I just don't think it's, and your page is doing that, is getting like thrust in front of our face enough to where we get conditioned enough to look for it, right?
Yeah.
It's just so much of the bad shit that after a while, you're almost just like, you know, I mean, Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trials, case in point. Like there's, yeah. like people are fixated on that because of the polluted.
I can't believe it's still going on.
Well, you know, earlier today, she, you know, said that she diarrheaed on my favorite journal, and everything's poop related with Amber, which
yeah.
is funny because she did it and she said, this is for not giving me a part in chocolate. And I said, I didn't even know you then, bitch.
She's like, I'll give you chocolate.
And then she pooped, which was funny.
Yeah.
So you started putting these like positive, you know, memes up and posts. And did you see like a giant wave and response of like...
Of Tank's Good News?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. That page grew. So the arc of my career?
Yes.
I know, whatever.
Yes?
It's a career, and I'm a meme artist, bro.
Great.
Memes are art.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah.
Okay.
I've been in countless text threads and been around countless Shabbat dinners where people are fucking... Sue Bird's a good friend of mine. She's the fucking goat of the WNBA, and she loves memes. And we will sit like, there's got to be...
Yeah.
I should see if there's one you can personalize for and send to her, and she probably follows all your shit.
Sure.
But like there's certain friends I have where it's just like that's how we communicate.
Yeah.
It will never not be that way.
Yeah. Yeah, memes are great. It's a different, very different skill set than stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't even want to compare it.
But still, but still, you're accessing the joke part of your brain. The like,
oh yeah,
like when Ellen pulled up some on the couch interview, and then you quickly came up with titles. It's like, yeah, that's a fucking skill, man.
Yeah,
that's a quick like, funny like appropriate for that too. Versus like what you're putting maybe on the page, like you were able to like read the room and like I don't know. There's a lot still that's comparable.
Well, when I did the we did it on the Adam Carolla show,
yeah,
and I explained to them, I'm like, listen. There's a million different ways you can go. There's memes that, you know, that moms are going to like. There's memes that, like, they pulled up one of the pictures of somebody, I forget the guy's name, but he works there, and it was like a seventh grade picture. And I wound up doing, I was like, listen, here's a meme that Donald Trump Jr. would repost. We did it. It was like a joke about replacement theory.
Yeah.
You know, the psychotic conspiracy, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't post it. But you wanted a caption, and I'm reaching right here. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you want to show me a picture? You want something on the spot?
Yeah.
There's no rules. I mean, it's a podcast. Yes. I couldn't do that on Ellen. I had to like, I was sweating.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I couldn't breathe, bro. So.
So then Tank's Good News pops off.
So here's the arc. Yeah. Tank Sinatra, it's growing. I feel great. I'm making my own memes. I feel people are validating my, you know, sense of, because I started making memes in 2009 on Reddit when I was living out here.
Oh shit.
But there was nowhere to like go from that. It's just like, oh, you know, I'd tell somebody, I made the front page. They're like, of what? Of Reddit. What the fuck is Reddit?
Yeah.
Oh, I went to Reddit. I couldn't figure it out. Okay. All right. Well, I was on the front page. I got 2000 karma from it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, get back to work. Yeah. So Tank Sinatra is doing well. Tank's Good News, I launched off the back of Tank Sinatra.
Right.
It hits 100,000 in a week. And then it,
wow.
Which, yeah, sounds great. For me, that was a massive success. But at this point, with Tank's Good News humming along and Tank Sinatra going, I still feel like everything is fraudulent.
Mm.
And it's a house of cards that could, house of cards will stand, but if there's a gust of wind, it's over.
Right.
So then I launched Influencers in the Wild, and that grew to 1 million in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I only posted about it maybe once or twice from Tank Sinatra, and that took off all on its own. And now all of a sudden that house of cards, the cards have glue on the edge, and you could still knock it down. I mean, anybody could knock anything down, but it could withstand some force. And I feel like now, okay, maybe I do understand a thing or two about the internet, and I am self-sustaining and I can do this. So that's when we started, you know, thinking about how can we make this brand into something bigger than just the Instagram platform. Because listen, I love Mark Zuckerberg, and I trust him. I think about people who made their living on Vine, and I'm like, God bless you. I can't believe what you know, still to this day.
Yeah.
You got 3, 4, 5 million followers on Vine. You're doing brand deal, sponsored post.
Totally.
It's gone. You go to log in one day, the app is just dead.
Wow.
That's scary to me.
Fuck yeah.
So.
What's sustainable?
I don't know. You know, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, whatever. Agree with what he's doing or not. He's a human being trying his best to figure this all out. We've been around for 75,000 years or, you know, 2000 if you ask the Jews, all right? 7,000 or whatever it is.
Please speak at my son's circumcision and fucking open with that line before you read from the Torah.
Or 80 million if you ask the Scientologists. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, We've been around for a long time.
Everyone's got an opinion.
We've had the internet for 20 years, bro.
Yeah, I know.
We don't know what we're doing with it.
What a great way to look at it.
We're just-
20 years.
Oh, not man. Even, bro. I mean,
Hootie and the Blowfish wasn't even together for that long.
Realistically, we've had social media in this format.
Look at them.
In this format, in my estimation, Facebook really took off. Really, really took off in 2006, 8. I was gonna say 2008.
Yeah,
is when people were like, it was like, okay, you don't have a Facebook? Why?
Totally. And it was being used for everything, not just to communicate, to like promote, to
set, I have a barbecue, you want to come to whatever, messaging.
Oh yeah.
Get people to vote for me on the Win Your Own Show on the Oprah Winfrey Network, whatever.
Oh yeah.
Whatever you want to use it for. It was ubiquitous, couldn't avoid it. And then it changed because people pervert things and they use it for nefarious reasons sometimes, just like they do with everything. But like I said, everything's cyclical, everything goes in waves.
So the influencers in the wild, it was you start posting what to like grow the account? And it's what, for people that don't follow, which is probably just a few.
So influencers in the wild is where the content creators are the content, right? So it's basically the other side of social media. It's the angle that you don't see. It's the angle from the other side where the filter's not put on yet, it hasn't been edited, the people don't look that cool because nobody looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, this guy came after me on TikTok one day because I posted a video of this girl on the beach with a tripod. Right? Not a tripod, a ring light.
Yeah.
So she's in a bikini.
Insane, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
She's dancing this. Ugh. She's got a ring light. My caption was, if only there was a natural, sustainable source of light somewhere nearby, right? Right. She's got a ring light.
Right.
Just a joke.
Yes.
Guys, you know, just making a joke.
They came at you.
Oh, my TikTok, bro. TikTok's a different animal. So this guy stitched it. He goes, why are we making fun of this girl? Why are we doing this? Everyone looks silly when they record videos from the other angle. And I commented, I was like, thank you for explaining the page, dude. What are you trying to do here? The fuck? Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
People that take the time
to
break down.
He had long hair, so he's an idiot anyway. Yeah. He had like long hair down to here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a choice, man.
Yeah, go eat some almond milk yogurt, fucking loser.
That your friend made.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know where he got it.
I mean, listen, he's probably, whatever, he's but the problem
probably
was.
Probably in a cover band. And it's probably a pretty good cover band.
Yeah, it's a Hootie and the Blowfish cover
and
band.
I'm not mad about that.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. That's how he makes his living. It's fine.
It's fine.
But
dude,
he, like, when people miss the point on purpose or they think it's toxic or misogynistic, I'm like, guys.
This isn't for you then.
It's a everything's a joke. It's not that serious. I'm not singling anybody out. It's just to have fun.
How much do you think of people of now versus like maybe 20 years ago? I guess maybe when the internet was going. How because the internet has also exposed a lot of stuff, but like definitely the amount of people that do want to put their foot down and go, you can't joke about that. That's not funny. And you go, well, you know, be more specific and say to you, because you can't just generalize and go, this isn't funny. You can't do this. How many of those people do you think existed in, I guess, close quarters and not that weren't didn't have a voice versus now how many go, like, I truly believe there's people that are coming out against certain things or creating groups that probably had a pretty good sense of humor behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And now they're just like, I need. They almost feel like there's a spotlight on them when it's like, there's not. You don't need to start that group. You don't need to join that group. But you feel like you need to because you're like, my friends on Facebook are looking at me.
Well,
I didn't not like that thing about that joke being not funny. So they're going to know that now. So I need, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the craziest part is the girl that was in the bikini.
5 minutes, great.
We've been going for 5 minutes?
Yeah, we just started 5 minutes ago.
So the girl that was in the bikini on the beach commented on that guy's video and was like, yeah, can you believe this guy's making fun of me? I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. In reality, I clicked on her profile, clicked on her Instagram from Influencers in the Wild, looked at the message. She was begging for credit to be tagged in the video when I first posted it.
Wow.
So I was like, you can't, nobody knows what's happening.
Two sides of everything.
But yeah, there's.
So that page is, okay, I love it.
I love it too. Yeah, it's dude. I make videos in public.
Yeah.
I feel stupid too.
Yeah.
I'm in on the joke.
Celebrate how silly it is of people, the idea that you're, that we have gotten to a point to where it's so normalized, but that people have the balls to, like, even in a restaurant, do a dance video or in the airport, like, fuck, like, you know, did you post a thing? Maybe Sebastian Maniscalco posted a guy was like shaving once in the airport. I don't know if that made its way to the page or, but yeah, man, like, and this is what I used to say about American Idol and how, like, the old one was so great. It was like, dude, that was such a show indicative of how great this country was, where it's like, you think you can fucking, you want to do this? Cool. You want to, like, you think you can sing even though you can't? You want to go on TV and try? Great. But if you suck, we're all going to make fun of you and it's going to be on YouTube for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That'll build character. And, but, like, the go for it, like, do it. But, like, now know that, like, there is an opportunity for it to get fucking pulled and shared and commented on and, like, you know, you shouldn't live. There are people that are probably like, I should be able to just make that video on the beach and not have my, not feel like I'm going to get ostracized.
It's no,
like,
you no, shouldn't.
Yeah.
And the other thing is,
Yeah.
Your best bet. This is why I I subscribe to Humor First.
Yeah.
I remember. Listen, you got
a great page. Great name for a page. It could be your next one.
Humor First.
Yeah.
You if you have a bad attitude, everything feels like an attack. Or if you have a swollen ego, yeah, everything feels like an attack. Yeah. Just like when your elbow's swollen and you bump into stuff, it hurts. It's not supposed to hurt. It's because your ego's swollen. So I remember being, this is a very specific story, but I was on a lake with my friend and the girl that I was dating at the time.
Cool.
There was two jet skis.
Sounds like a beginning of a Ben Stiller movie.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Ben Stiller-esque moment. My jet ski was his jet ski, but he gave me the shitty jet ski. So I'm exactly,
no.
I'm 250 pounds, can't get going. She's on the back, we're not going anywhere. He goes, jump on mine.
Oh, fuck this guy.
Right? Not.
He goes, later, chugger. You go, how'd you know my dad's nickname?
Not only that, I can barely get going. He comes by with her on the back and splashes me with the jet ski, dude.
I'm doing my best to keep it together and not fucking end the podcast and track this guy down.
So I call my friend about it at the time. I go, I'm so fucking pissed.
Yes.
He goes, wait, why didn't you just laugh? And I was like,
also one way to handle it, yeah.
I mean, I could have done that too. So like laughing, if you have a light way about you,
yes,
and you don't take life so seriously, this account is to like showcase how silly we've become as a human species. Not to single out individuals, it's the behavior. And it's not even like I'm saying this behavior is bad. I'm just saying this behavior exists.
Yes.
Let's have fun with it.
Yes.
You know? So we got to talk about this game real quick.
Let's do it,
I got
to
tell you about it.
And then I got a quick five more, Mo. We might go a little over. Will you tell? Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Please, the game.
Is the room going to explode if
we're perfect.
We go over time? Okay.
No. Yeah, amazing you made a fucking board game, by the way.
I know. If I told you what I went through mentally to make this, I mean, we made it from scratch. I didn't know how to do anything at all.
Who knows how to make a fucking board game?
Milton Bradley.
That we'll put up his Instagram handle.
Yeah, at MB.
Great guy.
So we had this idea. I was on the phone with Adam the creator.
Yep.
And I'm like, bro, what if we made a game that was like people travel around the world and visit all these dumb influencer spots like Tulum and Bali and whatever, Coachella, and they rack up followers instead of money. He's like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I was coming. By the way, I jumped off my couch.
Great idea.
I undersold it, but like I couldn't believe what just occurred to me.
Yep.
So we start to getting to work on it, and I'm trying to think, like, I want to emphasize how dumb I am.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, if the average of four people play and the likelihood of rolling 1 through 6 is equal with a die, what are the chances that each person, okay, so everyone's going to get 33 rolls on a 100 space board. We want to make sure everyone can kind of get 1 million followers. We want to have some loser turn spots. How do we, like, I went serious, like, beautiful mind shit on this out of nowhere. There's no way I could do this again. I had a moment in time for a couple of weeks where I was like able to do stuff like this. I don't know where it came from. So anyway, on the board, I don't know if they'll be able to see this.
Yeah.
So the board is there, right?
Yeah.
You good? Yeah,
great.
So that's the board. You pick out an influencer playing piece. You got the Coachella girl.
Nice.
The yoga girl. Yes. Girl in the yoga pose.
Oh my God.
The dog with the sunglasses on, who's gonna be like the hot, you know, everyone's gonna want that.
Yes.
The tourist with the selfie stick is gonna be like the thimble.
It's kind of my favorite so far, yeah.
Really, the tourist with the selfie stick?
Just cause I love that there's an extra prop.
Okay,
like,
all right.
And it's like it's an added detail that you went above and beyond for.
The detail in this is insane. Adam, I mean, nailed it. There's, so you travel around, you start here, you roll the die, you travel around. Dude.
Bro, this is gonna crush.
If you land on low battery, you lose a turn.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
If you land on no Wi-Fi, you lose a turn.
Yes.
Because you're an influencer.
Yes.
You need your service.
Bad lighting.
If you land on the verified symbol, you get verified, and that allows you to not have one penalty if you draw a penalty.
Yeah.
You can skip that. Or if you land on the Fire Festival, you can skip that. Because if you land on Fire Festival, you go back to the middle of the board and lose 100,000 followers.
But you get an early screening to the documentary.
Exactly. If you land on Bali, Coachella, Desert Rave, Griffith Park, whatever, you gain 100,000 followers automatically.
I can't wait to play this.
It's so much fun. So all of the fun is in the blue spaces.
I can't believe that there hasn't been a game that's poked fun at this world and this, like...
Yeah.
And it's like... So, but you've taken the formula of like... Like, it made sense to me right away. Like, you have the basic elements of like... Losing the turn, getting this. Here's how you progress. Here's how you can take steps backwards.
And there's a little competition in it. Because like the games like What Do You Meme and Cards Against Humanity, they're fun.
Oh, great.
But there's no end. You know what I mean? So like instantly when people started playing this, someone would pull ahead and he'd be like, oh, fuck, you know? Or someone would get left behind and they'd, you know, panic. So when you land on a blue spot, you pull a playing card. And it's either a reward, penalty, challenge, or question. So the questions are like, has the person to your right ever had oat milk?
Yeah.
And if you guess right, you get 50,000 followers. Love that. 25,000 followers. The challenges are, my favorite one, I think, is film yourself doing your best hustle and grind speech and post it on, you know, post it with the hashtag influencer game to gain 200,000 followers. So people are playing it and posting about it.
So the engagement is...
it's built in. The promotion is built in.
Wow, man.
The rewards are like, you know, The Rock reposted your meme, gained 50,000 followers. They're based on things that like have happened to me on the internet.
Yeah.
You get repost, you know, you
what
get
What meme did The Rock repost?
The Rock Obama. It was a Photoshop
of his I remember face that. Together. Yes.
Yeah.
Good for you, dude.
But the penalties are the funniest. But unfortunately, you lose followers.
Yeah.
The penalties are... You know, your dad finds your OnlyFans, lose 50,000 followers. Or,
your dad worked for Girls Gone Wild and actually was the reason that you got into that and now have a drinking problem.
Yeah, your pyrotechnic gender reveal causes massive California wildfires. Lose 100,000.
Is that really what?
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Is this mine?
No.
No.
Great. No.
I got to buy one.
Well, I only have one. Like this.
It's not out yet.
It's going to be in Target on June 26th.
My man.
And yeah, it's going to be in Target. I mean, I forget it's going to be in Target.
That's crazy.
I know.
I was just going to ask, because that to me feels like anytime I've bought a game, it's been at Target. I don't know if it's like, it's a home for games and like, you know, fun shirts.
So it's
good. If you're in a bind.
Yogurt.
Yogurt, yeah.
Coasters.
The coasters.
It's going to be
lasers.
At Target and influencersinthewildgame.com.
It's going to crush.
Or on my Instagram page, we're building a shop that you can just buy it there.
Bro, I'm so confident in the success of this game.
Yeah, thank you.
Good for you, dude.
Can't wait.
Fucking look at you, man.
Bald as fuck, just crushing.
You don't
it.
Need hair.
If I had hair, I mean.
I don't think you'd be as motivated.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
I got an axe to grind because I got no hair.
All right, I want to close this out with an Inside the Actor Studio 10 questionnaire. I'm playing James Lipton to get to know Tank Sinatra a little bit better. Here we go.
All right.
I'm here with Tank Sinatra. Tank, what is your favorite word?
Helium.
What is your least favorite word?
Potpourri.
It does suck, but there's a musicality to it. But I would never, if somebody asked me why I didn't have potpourri in the bathroom, that'd probably be a red flag. And I'd ask them to leave.
It's potpourri at best.
Potpourri?
I mean, potpourri is, you know, come on. Cornucopia.
What turns you on?
Boobs.
What turns you off?
Penises.
Hey, man. What is your favorite curse word?
Probably fuck.
Wow, nobody saw that coming, huh? Great answer, by the way. Wow, this guy's on the internet.
Has anyone done that before?
No.
Oh, okay. I mean, that laugh sucked.
Matthew McConaughey said his favorite word was fuck.
I'm sorry, Whitney.
No, I don't think she's sorry. That fucking, come on, man.
Well, I didn't mean to make fun of her, but.
No.
Yeah.
Make fun. Dude, that's.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy about, I mean, you probably know better than anyone, the things that stick and become a.
Oh, who knows, dude? It's so arbitrary.
It is, right?
It really is. My favorite curse word. I mean, fuck is a great one.
It's awesome. It's universal.
If I'm happy, fuck. If I really want to prove a point, cunt. Mm. Cunt is like a conversation ender.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's no...
Fucking cunt is death.
Yeah. That if you're saying that to a pilot, there's a good chance he's going to crash the plane.
It's saying it to a man? Oh, yeah, yeah. Penis becomes vagina.
Yeah. I was in Australia, and I didn't know the first time. I didn't know they said it so casually. I get out of the Uber, and he goes, have a good show, you cunt. And I was like, you're getting 3 stars, man. And he was, and then my buddy was like, no, that's what they say. I was like, oh, okay. What sound or noise do you love?
Children playing.
Yeah. At a playground?
Yeah, I mean, I remember being in New York City once and coming around a corner, and I heard kids playing in like in between buildings.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is that? I mean, it was like...
They're having the best time of their lives.
I mean, it was magical. And I actually looked. You can, like, on noise apps, you can find...
White noise? Children laughing?
Sound of children playing. It's beautiful. It's, like, one of the most magical sounds maybe ever. I love that, ever. Dude. Yeah.
And being a pops, that probably just, you know, elevates that feeling and joy, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
That was pretty annoying.
Just the silence?
No, the scratching. No, I'm just kidding. I hate when I'm pulling a package out of a box and it's styrofoam and the styrofoam is rubbing against itself.
Yeah, dude.
That's not great for me. I don't know if it's the texture of it.
It's the equivalent of like somebody trying to give you a hand job by like doing this over your pants. It's just, yeah. Sorry, seventh grade was a difficult year.
You must have a huge ding dong.
It was, couldn't get it out in time. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Astronaut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go to space before I would bungee jump or skydive.
Yeah,
isn't that weird? I'd rather go up than go down.
Was I supposed to give very fast answers, by the way?
No, this is great. Oh, okay. There's no right or wrong to any of this.
Okay.
I choose and pick and choose which ones to discuss a little bit more.
Okay. I would love to go to space for a very short period of time. Like, I feel like I'd get very bored up there.
Yeah.
But I would like to see...
A couple days?
Yeah, three.
It's like going to the, like the Glendale Galleria.
10.
Yeah.
10 days max. I want to come back.
10 days in space.
10 days in space. I want to see the blue orb. I want to have that feeling that every astronaut describes where they see the Earth. Like, I feel like that is why space travel...
You want your Apollo 13 moment.
I'm not against space travel for billionaires at all. Because every astronaut has described space travel as the thing that changed the way they saw everything. Because you realize everyone lives there. Everyone who's ever lived lives there. So we better start taking care of it. So I feel like the more rich people who... are, you know, destroying the planet with whatever, get up there and see the Earth, the more likely it is that maybe we'll start to take care of this place.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you think also, too, there's something to be said about, like, once you come down with space perspective, like Buzz Aldrin, do you think he came back to his wife and if she, like, you know, busted his chops or something, he was just like, I'll fucking go back up there.
Yeah.
You think I need down here?
Yeah.
Up there, I didn't have to listen to your fucking bullshit.
Well, you know Brian Regan's special, I Walked on the Moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, how do you top that?
Yeah.
You're at a dinner party, everyone's telling stories, you just let everyone go. Oh, yeah, that's nice. I walked on the moon.
Yeah, I did. That's really funny. Yeah, Neil Armstrong spoke at my college graduation, and my buddies and I joked about that.
Wow.
About how it's like, that's all he needed to come out and do was just say, good luck topping that shit, and then just grab his nuts and walk off.
Yeah, bounce off.
But he gave like some inspiring thing about like, follow your dreams. And I forget how he sounds, but it was just, you know, anything is possible, you know, fucking, you know. What profession?
It was a really impactful speech.
Yeah, I was very high. It was 10 a.m. What profession would you not like to do?
What profession would I not like to do? I would not like any profession.
Yeah. You're loving what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't
want to. Can't imagine doing anything else.
I've done so many professions. I mean, I've had like 65 jobs in my life.
All right, that's part two.
I don't want to do anything else but what I'm doing right now.
Great. I don't think you have to. This game's going to be the new game. I'm calling it right now, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fucking calling it right now.
Every step I take is to try and ensure my, you know, security financially for me and my family so that I can... Just my life is so good, dude. If you would have told me when I got sober, that I was gonna be associated with positivity and humor later on,
That's why I wanted to get. And sorry that we've spent so much time on it, but it's like it's very cool, man. And I think it shouldn't be skipped over or failed to celebrate like what you've created for yourself, because it's really inspiring on a lot of levels. And just you saying that like you're driven to like provide for your family, and that you're like pumped to be a dad, and you got these great kids, and you're like, that's your, those are the goggles you're looking through now versus years ago. It's very cool, man. And like, you know, I'm just trying to be more active with like not skipping over like celebrating the good stuff and taking a couple peeks in the rearview mirror from time to time to be like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
You know, just to appreciate a little bit more. Not that you need to dwell in it. Like, you know, if we were still talking about your sobriety now in the podcast, fucking yeah, we probably wouldn't air this episode, but you know, because it's getting a little dark. But no, but getting that to then contrast it with this is like special.
I just can't believe, I mean, every area a human being could struggle in, I've struggled in.
Yeah, man.
Obesity, alcoholism, codependence.
Yes.
Every character defect, seven deadly sins I've struggled with. My wife is, I mean,
a rock star.
Fucking beyond anything I ever thought I was going to wind up with as a human being.
Cool.
My kids are unbelievable. I can't believe what I do for a living. I've given up on my dream of being a fitness model, so that's like, you know, it is what it is at this point.
Mo's got a couple contacts at Curves. He'll,
I'm too fat. I mean, it's just, I'm jacked, but I'm not going to, you know, unless they're looking for plus size models.
They are?
Are they?
Dude, always. I'm constantly seeing photos being, you know, filtered through that are just like girls pushing three bills, guys pushing four bills.
I mean, I'm in the middle.
Oh, you're talking about a big guy. Yeah, it's just for the gals.
Yeah, it's just for the gals. All which right. is fine. I mean, it is what it is. Everyone's got to have their time. I got a fucking board game coming
That's
out.
That's what I'm saying, dude. June 26th. June 26th.
In Target, on shelves. I hope they sell out immediately.
I'm going to Target that day to buy a bunch.
Great.
Might even make a little fun video where I like hand them out to people.
It'll get posted. That's another part of the promotion.
1,000%
I'm
doing that.
We're going to have people, you know, take a picture of yourself buying the game outside the Target.
Bro, 1,000% I'm doing that. I'm going to be in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm playing in this celebrity basketball game with fucking Marshawn Lynch and Gary Payton. Like all
Why
this...
do you play so many celebrity basketball games?
Dude, because I just fucking... Crush? I don't know. I don't know. In the NBA one, Brad and I got into that, Brad Williams, and that was the best thing ever. And just from meeting the commissioner and him just liking us and then inviting us.
Oh, yeah.
This one just happened from being a Seattle dude, and the guys who put it together asked me, and it's all Seahawks and old NBA players that, you know, Jamal Crawford, Jason Terry, but Gary Payton and Marshawn Lynch are the coaches, and fucking Joel McHale is going to be the commentator with the old Sonics announcer in the arena, the new arena where hopefully the Sonics come back to.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped. But so anyway, that's the 26th.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going that week to buy a bunch, and maybe I'll just go around town, hand them out, or go to fucking front doors. Who knows? I'm going to make a fun little video, though. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You did good.
Nice.
You did good down there. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
How's my light? Maybe does that. Quick selfie.
Influencers in the Wild was a little misogynistic, actually.
There it is. All right. You're the man, dude. This was a fucking... I hope you had a good time.
I had a great time.
Yeah, dude. At Tank Sinatra.
At Tank's Good News, at Influencers in the Wild. Pick a page, any page, whatever. Go to all of them.
They're all a fucking blast.
I don't care.
Life gets dark. Lighten it up. And this shit comes out June 26th. Go grab it. Mo, I'll buy you one.
Go places, gain followers, get famous, no talent required. Right here.
Oh, Hootie, did we find out how long? 26. 26 years Hootie was together.
Wow. I mean, how long were they really going for, though?
There was a big 10-year hiatus.
Yeah. All I want to really do, that's all I know.
And he does impressions.
Yeah. maybe we'll edit that out.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. I've got a new podcast coming out this week called What the Heck is Crypto? I'll be honest, guys. I don't fucking know. To help me figure this shit out, I'm going to be joined by the one and only Steven Cesaro, crypto expert and overall money guy. Say hi to the listeners, Steven.
What's up, everybody? Each week, I'll try and teach Adam a little more about crypto, NFTs, stocks, bonds, you name it, and help boost his financial IQ. It's going to be a tough battle, but we'll get through this together.
That's enough, dude. You're bringing the energy down. Join us each week as I become a mega genius billionaire, and Steven is there too.
You can listen to What the Heck is Crypto on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.